Our scripture for today comes from Mark 10. They came to Jericho, and he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
Good morning. Okay, I'm going to be cheesy. Sounds like you're half asleep. So good morning.
Good morning.
So I get the joy of bringing the message to you this morning. As part of my internship here, I get to preach, and so Joel has been away all week on a spiritual retreat, so it worked out well to have me have the opportunity and learning experience this morning. I'd like to start off my message actually talking about Indiana Jones. Most of you have probably seen Indiana Jones, but for those who have not, Indiana Jones is a professor of archaeology. And he has a, I guess you would say, a hobby of trying to find rare artifacts. But in the process of finding these rare artifacts, he usually ends up in some precarious situation, life or death situation, that he has to work through. The particular one that we're going to talk about today comes from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And Dr. Jones finds himself on the edge of a cliff that he must cross. And if you can kind of see, he's the little dot up towards the part of the top of the middle. It's a little dark. And he sees the doorway on the other side, and he has to figure out how to get to that doorway. The book telling him that he's supposed to take a leap of faith, only it's too far to jump, and that's a long way down. So thinking he knows what he's supposed to do, Indiana Jones gets ready, takes a step, and takes a step forward, landing about a foot below where the edge of the cliff was, on an invisible bridge. This bridge was camouflaged into the landscape, and until you took that step, you couldn't see the bridge, but once you were on it, you were at the right angle that you could see that it went the whole way across to the doorway. Indiana Jones trusted a book, took a step while he was blind, and was able to see the path laid before him. As we look at our scripture today of Bartimaeus, we see a similar pattern of events unfolding. Bartimaeus is often considered the model disciple. Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road in this crowd of people as Jesus is coming through Jericho. And within these crowds, Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." People in the crowd hush him, and so he cries out again, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus hears, he says, "Call him here." In doing so, Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and I imagine goes as quickly as he can over to Jesus. Jesus restores his sight, tells Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has healed you." And instead, Bartimaeus chooses to follow Jesus. Before we go too much further into the scripture, I want to talk about a couple unique things about this healing in comparison to other healings in the book of Mark. The first being that this is the first healing in Mark where we know the name of the person being healed. Quite often, Mark provides the name of demons that were expelled, but doesn't say the name of the person. It is thought that the name, Bartimaeus' name, is remembered because he became a committed follower of Christ. This is unique in and of itself, because most people, after they were healed by Jesus, would go on their way. They came to Jesus to be healed, he healed them, and then they carried on and went back to their lives. So what makes Bartimaeus different? As we look at the beginning of Scripture, Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, Son of David." At this time, Bartimaeus is crying out not to Jesus of Nazareth, which quite often is how he was referred. He is crying out using Jesus' messianic name. He's crying out to the Messiah. Last unique thing about the book of Mark, throughout this book, as Jesus heals, Jesus says, "Don't tell anybody." He heals a person, and then he tells that person and anyone who witnessed it, "Don't say anything." It's known as the messianic secret. So when we get to Bartimaeus in chapter 10, Bartimaeus is the first person to call Jesus using the messianic name. Because he uses the name for the Messiah, I think that Bartimaeus is calling out for more than just physical healing. Now, even after reading multiple commentaries, I personally struggled with this concept. What does it matter what name he calls out to Jesus? It all leads to the same person. So I started to think then about all of the names that we go by. And I personally came up with 9 that I go by. And I'm not even a parent. So I then came up with at least 9. Now most of you know me as Allie. 2 people in this world are even allowed to call me Al. And that's my grandfather and my cousin. And then my students know me as Professor Toms. Now, a couple weeks ago, I was at Penn State Mont Alto, walking through the halls of an academic building. And as I was walking, I passed a student, and they said, "Hi, Allie." And I was shocked. Not because of a level of disrespect, it wasn't even a current student of mine. I was shocked because I'm a professor in that context. What are you doing calling me Allie? And so we're doing the idle chit-chat in the hall. And the whole time that we're doing that, I'm trying to go, "You call me Allie, you're not a student, how do I know you?" And finally, I looked at them, I stopped the conversation, and I said, "Who are you? I'm sorry, I know you, but who are you?" Turned out it was a college student that I had met while I was at King Street Church doing an internship. And he knew me there as Allie. But because the context, I was Professor Toms, the two didn't match. So what does this have to do with Bartimaeus? Names matter. We call people the name based on the role they play in our lives. So when Bartimaeus was calling out to Jesus, using the name the Messiah, he was calling out to more than just Jesus the healer, or Jesus the teacher, or Jesus the rabbi. He was calling out to the Messiah, his Savior. And Jesus hears him. And Jesus says, call him here. At this, Bartimaeus sprang up. He threw off his cloak. He sprang up and went to Jesus. Now, when I read scripture, I tend to imagine the scripture as though I'm watching it like a movie. And I pictured this man sitting on the side of the road, dramatically throwing off his cloak and running up. Only I found out that the Greek word used here for threw off literally means to cast aside, reject, and completely abandon. The way our translation reads, it sounds as though Bartimaeus is wearing the cloak. However, a more probable scenario is that Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road with his cloak, possibly even on his cloak, begging. People passing by would then throw coins on the cloak that he could then collect up. So when it says that Bartimaeus threw off, cast aside, completely abandoned his cloak, he didn't only leave a physical cloak on the side of the road, but quite possibly a cloak with money on it in a crowded street with people passing by. He was leaving his earnings for that day sitting on the side of the road. And this was all before Jesus had done anything for him. All Jesus had done at this point was call Bartimaeus. This is where the scripture jumped out for me. By abandoning and casting aside the cloak, Bartimaeus was leaving his old life. Bartimaeus was putting his whole trust in Jesus in that moment, trusting that Jesus would provide what he needed. He shed that cloak because it did make it easier for him to follow Jesus' call. It would have held him back otherwise. Imagine if Bartimaeus said, heard the call from Jesus and said, hold on, wait a minute, let me collect up everything. He may have missed Jesus, and he wouldn't have been putting trust in the Messiah. So this raised a question for me. What are cloaks in my life that hold me back from following Jesus' call? This section of the story is known as the call section. And I tried over and over to write this sermon without including my call story. But I truly feel the Holy Spirit moving in this time to share it in light of this text. As many of you know, 5 years ago, my family was not attending this church. I was born and raised here, left around 2008, and came back January of 2014. Coming back to this church was the beginning of my call story, only I didn't know it yet. At the beginning of the year, my mom accepted the position as director of music. However, before she accepted, we spent many nights and days in prayer and discussion and discernment, because we felt that it wasn't just my mom being called back here, but also myself, my dad, and my husband, Cody. So when she accepted that call, we all accepted that call. And so, coming up to that very first week, we practiced a whole bunch. And then that very first Sunday, we played and everything went well, and my life changed. See, when Cody and I accepted the call, we didn't plan on staying. Based on what was going on in my life, we were going to come for about 6 to 8 months, help start a praise band, help revive the contemporary service, and then we were going to go because at this time, I was applying to PhD programs in psychology. And so none of the programs were close by, so we would have to leave. That first Sunday when we played, I found out that we weren't going anywhere anytime soon. I truly felt that God was saying, call them here. And here was this church. This was one of the most defining moments in my journey, because over the next month, I received 3 phone calls from programs asking for interviews. And I turned every single one of them down. The hardest part, though, was that God didn't tell me what I was going to be doing instead of a PhD program. He didn't give me a career path. So at this point, I have a master's degree, and I'm working as a waitress. To answer the call from God, I had many cloaks that I had to shed and cast aside to answer that call, one of them being my pride. I remember that summer working at a hotel in Gettysburg waiting tables. And as I did, customers and tourists would come through, you'd do the idle chit-chat, and inevitably they would ask, so are you a student at Gettysburg College? And I had to cast aside that cloak of pride every day that I worked. I had held so much pride in the hard work that I put in to get my education. And God put me in a situation that education and hard work was not even visible. The other cloak I had to cast aside was control. Now, anybody who knows me knows I'm a planner. I like to get my ducks in a row because it gives me at least the illusion of control. And I'll tell you, I had my life planned out. I was going to go to a PhD program, spend about 5 years there, graduate with my doctorate, then I would get a position as a professor at college, and then Cody and I could have a family all by the time I'm 30. Yeah. You know that phrase, when we make plans, God laughs. Yeah. Because I didn't know where that next step was, I had to give up control over the direction of where my life was going. I could no longer follow the path that I had set out for myself. And none of my backup plans fit this new direction either. I put my entire life in Jesus' hands when I said no to my doctorate. I will say that over the past 5 years, I have found out that it is a lot easier to say that we are giving God control than actually give God control. It's something that we know we are supposed to do. Carrie Underwood even has a song, Jesus Take the Wheel. The problem is, we say Jesus Take the Wheel, and we think that means it's going to be a smoother, less bumpy ride. But what it really feels like is, when we give Jesus control of our lives, we are giving Jesus control of every single part of our life, for him to move in our lives how he wants and he needs to move, so he can take whatever wheel he wants. We can't just give him control in part of our life and say, Jesus, take the steering wheel while I go over here and work on my side project. That's telling Jesus how to move in our life and what part to have control over, not giving him control over our entire life. When Bartimaeus abandoned his cloak on the side of that road, he left his entire livelihood behind him. It doesn't say he picked up his earnings and rushed to Jesus. It says he abandoned not just his earnings, but his means of earning money. And this was, again, before Jesus had done anything. Jesus called. Bartimaeus answered faithfully and quickly. And then Bartimaeus was given back his sight. This is how it often works. Jesus calls, we answer, and then we get to see. The problem is we live in a world of cell phones where you get a call and you get to see who is calling. And then you get to choose whether or not you answer. We also see this in situations where, let's say someone calls and asks you to serve in a committee, and you want to see what the responsibilities are. Or someone calls and asks you to be delegates to annual conference, and you want to see when and where it is. What is it we truly want to see in those moments? We want to see if it's something we want to do and are willing to do. Then we can decide. Jesus flips it. Jesus calls us and says, hey, I have something I want you to do. I think it would be really good for you. Will you do it? And he wants us to say yes without having to ask what it is. He wants us to answer without seeing, because by doing so, we are putting our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Bartimaeus trusted Jesus when he called. He leapt up, leaving his past behind to answer that call. He was then able to see, and then he continued to follow Jesus. In fact, Jesus actually told him to go. Go, your faith has healed you. And Bartimaeus at this time could have gone and lived a normal life finally. He could have reunited with his family. He could have lived a life of honor. Jesus restored those possibilities. But Bartimaeus chose to follow, which he chose that back when he answered the call. And he stood up from his cloak. After receiving his sight, he simply continued following. Bartimaeus didn't follow Jesus because he restored his sight. He followed Jesus because he put his faith and trust in him. And he followed him on the way, the bumpy road that ultimately led to the cross. When Jesus entered Jericho at the beginning of the scripture, Bartimaeus showed his spiritual sight when he called out to Jesus the Messiah. Through the process of putting his trust and faith in Jesus, he gained his physical sight. If we wait until we have our physical sight to finally follow Jesus, we can miss opportunities. After I chose not to go on for my PhD program, Jesus didn't immediately reveal what my path was going to be instead. In fact, I wasn't even in a place that he could reveal it. So I spent over a year trusting God to reveal my new direction. And let me tell you, for a planner to spend a year without a plan, I had to cast aside that cloak of control almost every day. But then a few things started to happen. Jamie, our youth director, was voted on for licensing. And I started to feel this tug. And then a couple weeks later, I asked my mom, well, what is the purpose of licensing? And I started to feel this tug. And then finally one day I sat down and I Googled Bethany Seminary. And as the website loaded, I felt this overwhelming peace. After a year of waiting and wandering and searching, Jesus finally gave me a glimpse. He gave me the very next step in my call. However, if I had not stayed, if I had continued down my path to my PhD program, I would hardly even know who Jamie was, let alone be here for her vote. And I wouldn't have been looking for signs from God to reveal what my next step was going to be. I would have continued in my PhD program, blind of the call that God had placed on my life. When we put our faith and trust in the Messiah, we see Jesus as our Savior, and that's our spiritual sight. As we then live a life of faith and trust, answering the call placed on our lives, Jesus gradually, piece by piece, opens our physical eyes so that we may see. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I just thank you for how you have opened my eyes throughout the formation and working of this sermon. I thank you for giving me this message and allowing me to see how you have been working throughout my life and how you work throughout each and every one of our lives. I ask that we are able to take this message and put our faith and trust in you so that we can answer faithfully as you call us to each and every step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.